You're listening to a Rare Drop podcast. Check us out at raredrop.co.
When your coffee is freshly roasted and ethically sourced, it's music to your ears. Shake up the way you wake up at kingscoastcoffee.com.
Welcome to episode 108 of Star Wars and Scotch. It's Kevin, joined by my buddy Tim, as always.
Hello. How you doing? I'm okay.
I'm still living. What?
I was like, I think I still have like a Thanksgiving hangover.
Really?
Yeah, dude, my whole day is thrown off. I thought today was Thursday.
I didn't drink coffee yesterday.
Ooh. See, so that's kind of like a Thanksgiving hangover.
I was off my schedule for Thanksgiving. It was a late night here. So I had some stuff to do in the morning. So I was out of the house and I never grabbed my coffee. And I came back home and I still didn't grab my coffee. And then I came to work and I was like, I didn't have coffee today. So
how do you feel?
I had tea to get my caffeine intake. So,
well, don't be like Kevin. Head on over to kingscoastcoffee.com.
Exactly.
And you can get a fresh roast to order bag of some of our best coffee, I think, that we like offer throughout the year. I mean, like, we offer great coffee year round, but right now some of our best stuff is up for grabs. So head on over to kingscoastcoffee.com. We've got our Christmas blend going on. We still have our Autumn Tide. We got our Roaster's Choice. We got some special holiday stuff going on. We got cocoa still. Yeah, Kevin, we still have some cocoa.
We do have a little bit of cocoa, not much.
Perfect.
I saw because we announced 12 Days of King's Coast yesterday, and I saw the 12 Days of King's Coast. And let me tell you this. I saw a product on there that I did not expect to see, and I'm kind of shocked that Wayne is doing that. Look at that King's Coast coming into the frame like that. That couldn't have been perfect timing. That was not planned, by the way. That just happened.
That was really good. That was fantastic. Wow. For those that are listening, our producer just brought Kevin coffee and just slid it ever so perfectly into the scene. So that was really good.
It's really good. So, King's Coast Coffee, there's a product on there. I don't know if you looked at the list. He emailed it yesterday morning. But there's a product on there that I was like, oh, we're doing that? Okay. So if you're not part of the King's Club, you're not on the mailing list, and you're not plugged in, you could miss out on the thing that made me go, oh, I'm shocked we're doing that. So kingscoastcoffee.com. Also, by the way, GCX tickets are on sale right now. So through I believe they're through the end of December. I could be wrong, but GCX tickets are on sale. So make sure that you take advantage of this because they will go up incrementally over the course of the year. So now is the time to get your GCX tickets for as cheap as possible. It's August 4th and 5th next year at Rose and Shingle Creek. Don't worry, the hotel blocks are coming. We spoke to Rosen yesterday about it. Build Against Cancer is in 2 weeks. Three weeks. 3 weeks. There it is. If you're listening, Tim has a beautiful Build Against Cancer shirt supporting Build Against Cancer this year. It's Dr. Lupo's annual fundraiser. It's part of the whole GCX family of fundraising. So make sure you're a part of Build Against Cancer. Tim is going to be in Memphis.
I'll be there at the hospital.
At the hospital. One of my favorite places on the planet,
it's
by the way.
Such a cool hospital to go to. I tried to get Amy to come with me, but we couldn't get a babysitter for Kyler. So at some point she'll have to see the hospital, because it's definitely like, if you ever have the opportunity to go, like, you need to go. It is just
she's
never been. I've only been once.
I believe Summit is coming back this year, so we could get you guys to go for Summit.
Yeah we'll see.
I know.
We'll
I'm sending Paul because poor Paul, the year he was gonna go was 2020. And then
whoops.
So we're gonna send Paul too this year. Did this morning feel empty to you? Like, did you feel like you were missing something in your life?
Yeah, I finished the gym and I was like, well, time to go not watch Andor. So yeah, there's nothing really right now other than the Santa Claus. It's the only thing that's available on Wednesdays for Disney Plus. Yeah. Yeah. They're doing 30-minute episodes.
Didn't Willow start this week too?
So we did a pod. So for those that didn't know, we did a roundtable on Monday, and Chase, That Gay Jedi, was on, and he's actually at the premiere. So yeah, that should be out. He's actually at the premiere. He gets to see like the first two episodes or something like that. So
that's
he was very
exciting.
Excited. He was talking about his outfit and He's very excited to be in LA. Chase. I love him so much. He's great.
I love Chase.
So yeah. So
yeah. So we are. Tim mentioned the roundtable. The roundtable was recorded on Monday. You had Chase, that gay Jedi. You had Alex from Star Wars Explained. Mm-hmm.
And we had Lauren from
Most Things Kenobi.
Yep, Lauren and Alex from Star Wars Explained and Chase, that gay Jedi, were there with me, and we talked about Andor.
Great. This is something we want to keep doing, rotating guests, rotating me and Tim hosting this as Star Wars content rolls out. You know, we were really inspired by Disney Plus and the way that they brought the producers and the team that made the show together. So ours is more, you know, content creator reactions and fans to shows like that. So expect more of this in the future. You will get to see this in December. So stay tuned to our social, Star Wars Scotch, Darkness 429, and me, Kevin X Vision, K-Magic 101, and Rare Drop to see when this will come out. But it was recorded on Monday, and I'm excited to see the whole thing. I only saw a little bit of it, but I'm excited to see the whole thing. And yeah, we're going to be doing more of this. I'm excited. Everyone said they had a great time. So look out for the Andor Roundtable from Star Wars and Scotch next month. But yeah, Andor felt empty this morning. Andor has the highest Rotten Tomatoes rating of any Star Wars show.
Well,
by the way,
surprised me. It was a masterpiece. Like it was fantastic. It was a great show. Like, you know, we talked about it earlier, and it was just like from start to finish, there isn't a like bad episode. You know, and it's just like every episode, in my opinion, and I know a lot of people like they had a hard time getting through like the first like two or three episodes. Because it seems like that was like kind of like the stopping point for a lot of people. Like, oh, I gave it like a week or two, and then I was like, I don't understand why I'm watching this. It's just like, you missed out on so much. And like one of the other things that we talked about it and we continue to talk about it is just like how this relates to things that are going on in the world currently, and like kind of like how it feels more surreal than other Star Wars experiences. Like I really felt like I could put myself in the shoes of any of these characters. Like it felt more relatable. It felt, and I really think because they didn't introduce this stereotypical cookie cutter Star Wars formula of like Jedi hero, lightsaber fights Sith bad guy win, you know, and just like, yay, we all celebrate and have a good time. Like this was like, this was an emotional roller coaster. I mean, we went from, you know, Cassian at his lowest point to his highest point to his lowest point again. And then, you know, coming back as in a kind of like growing into his own as this like leader, you know, not just like this rapscallion. It's a beautiful journey, you know? And it's just like, it's so hard. It was hard for me not to get behind it the more I watched it, because it got to a point where I was like, damn, that episode is great. Wow. This next episode was even better. Wow. This got better. You know, it's just like every single episode progressed in an exponential format where it was just like, man, every time this ended, I was like, I need more. I need more. I want more.
There's always this connection for me to Old Republic, Legends, lore, all that stuff. Andor didn't really go that route. So it was almost like a new part of Star Wars for me. It was like when I read the first High Republic book.
Sure.
And yeah, there are references to things, but it's like a whole new story. Mm-hmm. And that's how Andor felt. It felt like I was in a familiar place with characters that I did know, but I was learning so much about them that I had never known before. Yep. And I think that was what drew me in. Was it was action-packed. It was exciting. And it was something I wasn't used to in Star Wars. Like there's always a link back, even in Mandalorian. I could go back to the Old Republic games and talk about the Mandalorian lore and that. And you could, they went to, you know, some familiar locations that we knew. Mm-hmm. This was, everything was just new except for pretty much Coruscant. And yeah, even the way we saw Coruscant was completely mm-hmm. different than we had ever seen it before. Exactly. So that was what made it interesting and exciting. You know, one thing that I'm seeing all over that we didn't talk about last week with Andor is everyone's saying that it's gone a collision course with Rebels for season two.
That was kind of like what I mentioned last week, Kevin, was like, fuck, at the end of like at the season finale, it didn't feel like the show was about Cassian anymore. Like Cassian was a big part of it. He was definitely a larger gear within like the rebellion machine, if you will. But like the show did such a great job of highlighting and showcasing so many different facets of the rebellion, you know, from so many different points of you know, perspectives and angles. It was just a beautiful showcase of so many different people trying to like essentially do their own things. But at the end of the day, it's all towards the same goal, right? And so like, yeah, you're right. This is definitely going to like, it's going to be a mashup of like what Rebels is, you know? And that's why it's like, man, I'm really struggling with the name of the show. And it's like, it makes sense. Cause like Cassian is a very, very like strong part in like any, and I really feel like by the end of season two, and as we, and it ties into Rogue One, like Cassian really will be, you know, like this hero character, you know, they kind of like tried to do it with Jyn. They like introduced Jyn in like Battlefront. And so she was like a playable hero character. And so they wanted to make sure like Jyn Erso, like still got like, she got her spot and her time in the spotlight, if you will. And now it's Cassian's turn, but Cassian still isn't as, he was never the forefront of Rebels I'm brain farting here, Kevin. Rogue One. He wasn't the Rogue main One. Character of Rogue One. He was a side piece, but like now his character is so interesting. Like I want to know more about him. And I wish that he had like more character development in Rogue One, because holy shit, his entire adventure from start to finish is just, that's going to be a wild ride. If it's anything like season one, I'm excited.
Yeah. Yeah. I think season one was kind of like lay the groundwork, get everything out there, show how we got to this series of events, introduce all the new people, places, and things. Season two is where they're going to start bringing in the familiar things. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I wouldn't put it past us to see certain characters at this point.
I mean, Hera showing up would make sense.
Hera, Ezra, Sabine, Kanan. Prince as a live action Kanan.
I don't know if they'd do it.
I don't know if they would either. I'm just throwing it out.
I mean,
there.
And that was another thing that like I really appreciated with Cassian, and I really hope they don't do the fan service stuff, you know, because we see it all the time in the other Star Wars shows, right? Like we get so much of it in Boba Fett and in Mandalorian, and we got a little bit in Obi-Wan, but like they really didn't do that in this show. There wasn't a lot of fan service moments. There wasn't all these like, oh my god, I can't believe he's here, you know, like they did it, they brought him to life. It was just like I feel like if they would have dropped in a hero character like that, it would have taken away from the ability to feel connected to this show in a real world setting. Like it's the lack of the things that I know that makes me feel like I could be there.
Well, at some point he's going to meet Mon Mothma. Like, I feel like,
oh, that's, but Mon is already so integral to the show. Like her story arc is isolated to a certain degree. The things that she's going through are very much her own story. It really doesn't tie back to Luthen all that much. I mean, like there's a little bit like there, but still she's really on her own journey. She was doing a lot of this on her own. The moving of money and all this stuff was her own thing. And so like, that's why I don't think Mon Mothma was a fan service. I think it was a critical, if it wasn't for the fact that she was in the show, we wouldn't have a better understanding of how she got to where she is when we meet her in like episode four or even in Rogue One, right? Like how the hell does Mon Mothma, who's just a politician from Chandrilla, and like, how does she get from just being just a senator to essentially leading the free people and the rebellion? And so I think that it would be a disservice to like the show if it wasn't, because it really is a show about rebellion. It's a show about the rebels. And so it's like, that's why it's so frustrating. It's like, man, I wish this show was called Star Wars Rebels. We already have an animated show that's called Star Wars Rebels, but this is what it is. This is essentially the live action version of Star Wars Rebels.
Yeah.
So it's just like it. But again, like not having the lightsabers and not having the force and not having Darth Vader tramp around and just like kill everybody or have the Emperor show up and force lightning everything. Like it's cool to me because like, I feel like, yeah, I could be in those shoes. I could have been at the ISB headquarters. Like I could see myself in a Coruscant living quarters, you know, like in the tiny little fucking apartment in the underbelly of Coruscant. Like all of that felt so real. And I think Kevin, the big part of using practical effects for a lot of this was a big reason as to why too, because all the other shows that we've seen relied very, very heavily on CGI and using the volume and like using all of these visual effects that we've come to know and love, which makes the experience visually just so stunning. But at the same time, the more that we watched Andor, the more I felt, I was like, fuck man, these big rooms, these big sets, they feel good. You know, it's like, oh, this is just like, it's so cool to see, because like you and I, we start losing the magic and we start looking for the props. You know, we're like, oh, where's the blending of the volume into practical, you know, set pieces and things like that. So it kind of like loses that mysticism, if you will.
We're also production minded. So there's we have Diamond View Studios here in Tampa and we work with them. So there's a level of it almost ruins partially the experience for us, because we're like, oh, how they do that? Oh, did they? Yeah, we know that trick, like things like that. So it does, from our brains, it kind of messes with the experience a little bit. I think to the person that isn't in our world, there's a bit more of an excitement there when it comes to making things come alive. But I like what you said, because the idea of a practical environment in Star Wars versus when they have to go to the volume and create, you know, a docking bay in space, that's obviously not something you can do practical with, unless you start using green screen tricks and whatnot, which is how they did the prequel trilogy. Even then, you know, the volume is better than that, in my opinion.
Oh, but most definitely.
In this one, Tony Gilroy, I keep wanting to say Matt Reeves for some reason. That's who made the Batman. Every time we talk about Tony Gilroy, I go to say Matt Reeves, and I'm sure it's not even close to correct. Anyway, Tony Gilroy, he made it a point to go out and say, no, everything's practical. We're building sets. We're doing it this way. And I can appreciate that, because, you know, and even when I was at Synapse Summit in Orlando, and I was listening to Rick Rubin, who's he's in charge of the film department at Full Sail. I was listening to him speak. He was basically saying, this is an additive. This is not going to replace the way we film. We can't, because there's an art form there that can't be lost in all of this. And there's reasons to use a digital environment versus reasons to shoot on location. And I appreciate what he said about that, because then it helped me with Andor being like, why aren't they using volume? Like, blah, blah, blah. It makes more sense to do it this way in the environments that Andor existed in. Yep. Yes. When it came to places like Coruscant and whatnot, maybe some of those shots of the city and stuff. Yep. Would have been better, you know, on a volume as opposed to CGI. But this was Tony Gilroy's vision. And you know what? He knocked it out of the park at the end of the day. There's no reason to split hairs on how it was produced. So I'm very, very happy. And I'm excited for season two. Do they have a potential? Is it like 2024, I'm assuming, at this point?
I have no idea. I don't think they've said anything, but I mean, like, that would make sense with everything else coming out for next year. Like, it'd be silly for them to then throw Andor out next year on top of everything else. Like, that's a lot, Kevin. We've got Ahsoka. We've got Mando. We have the Bad Batch.
Bad Batch.
We just still don't know if there was a potential season two for Boba Fett.
It's not going to come next year, because
it wouldn't come next year. But I'm just like thinking of like what other things are going on as far as like production and all that stuff. We got Acolyte going on.
Acolyte could release next year.
Acolyte should be this time next year. It should be the Andor block, which was the Mando block originally, if I remember correctly. It's always been like this like holiday time where it kind of like starts to bleed into the holidays, and then it stops right before.
I believe Mando season one was November-ish. Mando season two was
February. They moved it. It was supposed to be like a whole year. We're like, we finally made it. It's been a year. And then it's like, it's going into spring. We're like, ah, shit.
Because Boba was Christmas last year.
Correct.
Last year. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, I mean, I would love Acolyte to round out the year, because that will be in vain of Andor, where it's a familiar universe. We're going to know nothing except possibly if it's Darth Plagueis rumors are true. That would be it. But we've never seen Darth Plagueis either.
Right.
Aside from art.
Yeah. Yeah. They actually just re-released his book, which I thought was interesting. And it's now the Tales, like a Star Wars tale, Darth Plagueis. Legends, like a Star Wars legend, Darth Plagueis, or however they say it. So, like, yeah, his original book is now just has been rehashed, but it's still considered a legend book, which is interesting. So it's not canonical, but it will still give you very much so a great insight from the legend's perspective of who Darth Plagueis is. So if you haven't listened to it yet, I highly recommend it, because his story is really, really cool.
And like we said about legends, legends are the rumors around the galaxy. It's things that were whispered and said, and, you know, there's truth to it. almost to an extent.
And we can say that with authority because the books are literally saying that. The books are saying they mention legends. They call back to those things like, oh, I thought this was only just a legend. And then, like, you know, Darth Malak's, like, lightsaber shows up. And you're just like, oh, what the fuck?
Have you ever heard the tale of...
I also think when it comes to legends versus canon, then we'll get into the next topic. I also think with legends versus canon, they went too heavy on trying to rewrite the story, and I think they've backpedaled a lot. So, like, you can't even say legends anymore because they've changed so much of it that it just doesn't fit at all, even as a rumor. Now it feels more like they're like, okay, we were wrong. Did you see the concept art for Kylo Ren, by the way, that was denied?
No.
So it is Darth Vader's helmet piece, like the top piece, and the mask like comes down. It almost looks like two fangs as the rebreather. And it's these eye sockets, but they're turned. They look like the concept art Darth Vader. Remember, the eyes are like more angled. So it looks like
they do that more in Rebels too. If you notice, the animated version of Vader is more in that vein than it is in live action. They do the tilted eyes. They do, this is the rebreather is definitely more like Shogun-esque looking. So that's cool that they leaned into that for the concept art. It's a shame that they didn't get to do it though, because like Kylo's mask is pretty rough.
I like Kylo's mask. I think this. I think
looks
the reason
great
they
with the hood up. If they when he takes his hood down, he looks like a bald guy. And it's just like, oh, you kind of lose like the badass part if your hood comes off.
I mean, Jedi also look badass with their hoods up. And then when they take
every
them off,
time.
You're like, oh,
you're not going to kill
that
anybody.
On.
You were just cold. Oh,
yeah. So I understand why they didn't do it. It was too Darth Vader. But at the same time, it would have played nicely into his obsession.
That was the whole point. All he did is idolize his granddad. So, I mean, like for him to take on the embodiment of Darth Vader would be so, it would have been perfect. But. One other thing, Kevin, that like I really wanted to like talk about is you brought up Acolyte. The lens that this show was shot in, the Andor was shot in, is very much the same lens that they used for Rogue One. It's very dark.
Yep.
The shots are tight. It makes like it's always full of just like action. Like every shot like is just like it's just a boom right in your face. Do you feel like since we know that Acolyte is going to be more of like a horror investigation style show, do you think they're going to use the same style of cinematography when it comes to this show that Andor does? Because I really feel like Andor brings across the more mature viewing lens. Like it's definitely designed more for like a more mature person. This is not like the kiddie Star Wars stuff. I mean, like they did a very nice job of like, when Cassian puts a blaster up to somebody's head, you know that he shot him point blank, but they don't show it. Or like, you know, when someone gets like completely crushed by a pallet full of credits, you know, his innards like went shooting out the other end, but they don't show it. You know, it's just like they did a really, really classy job of like not using violence for the sake of violence, but violence for getting a point across. And so do you think they're going to like hold true to that with Acolyte, or do you think they're going to come at it from a different angle?
So I'm looking at Leslie Headland. She's the showrunner for Acolyte. I'm looking at her credits. She did Russian Doll, which is very artsy. And oh my God, she was a co-producer on The Bachelorette earlier in her career. She probably wants that wipe from her. She probably wants that. It's like one of her first credits. So she probably worked on the show.
Yeah.
I feel bad for her almost. And she did the remake of The Heathers, which was also pretty artsy. So I think you're going to get more of a yes and no, essentially, is what I'm saying. I think you're going to get a very interesting portrayal from an artistic point of view on the show. It also depends where the show takes place. So in the description that we got way, 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 way back when, it's a Jedi or a fallen Jedi searching for artifacts of power throughout the galaxy because they're trying to achieve some sort of goal. The age-old story of the Jedi that leaves the Order and is like, you know, I can do this better than they can, and you know, ends up running into all these dead Sith. That's what I'm assuming. If that's the case, it's going to be a very bland color palette. They're going to focus on your reds, your crimsons, your magentas, things like that, because they want to signify the evil in the galaxy, the dark side. And things like that. So I think it is going to be pretty bland, but it's going to have those pops of color. Russian Doll did that a lot. Okay. So it's going to be a pretty bland back with pops of color to accentuate. Remember, this is a very extreme example. Do not take this face value. Do you remember how in Ronin, everything was black and white except for red and green?
Yep.
Kind of like that, but in a real act. That is an extreme example. Kind of like that. So,
but use Obi-Wan in Anakin's conversation when they're fighting. And they use light to visually showcase the changing of Anakin from good to bad, like that constant back and forth. And they just used a light bar. I watched the behind the scenes. It's just some dude with a light bar.
Yeah.
And like, but it was it looked so good. And so like, yeah, to that point, that would be really cool to see like the visual storytelling to that degree, because like that's always the fun stuff to go back and watch again. Because it's like, did I miss something? I did that what was it? Oh, Hill House. Hill House did the one shot take in that one episode when it was in the front. They went from the morgue into the house and like back and forth and stuff. It was just one shot. Like that Alfred Hitchcock style cinematography is just like, oh my God, I love that. So yeah, hopefully we get like a horror Star Wars show. To me sounds really, really exciting. Cause like, I mean, the scary stuff in Star Wars, the mysticism, like you go to Dathomir, think of that. You know, I'm really excited to hopefully like kind of lean into those vibes a little bit, because like going to Dathomir in Fallen Order is probably still like one of my favorite moments in just like being involved in Star Wars medium. Going to Dathomir as Cal Kestis is probably still like one of my favorite moments, because it was just like, wow, this whole planet came to life. Because you saw a couple pieces here and there in Clone Wars and in Rebels. But like to get the full experience, it's like, oh, it's so neat. And so I would love to see more of that shit.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that you're on the right track when it comes to that. By the way, I saw a TikTok video of them doing a one shot in a room where it was like a time lapse. And so they had the production team flipping the room on the fly. Oh, I've seen
that. Yeah, that video comes up every once in a while. And it's so impressive to watch when it's just like, and go. And it's just like couches move and TVs move.
She's doing outfit changes in the corner. Like, it's just nuts. Like, I'm sorry, she didn't
fall. The running back and forth is crazy.
I would be, my thing was like, when, because it's like 2 minutes long. Mm-hmm. And my thing is like, if you got to like a minute 45 and you're the one who fucked up the entire thing by like tripping or like putting the couch in the wrong place or something, I'd be, oh man.
Cut! Gotta do the whole fucking thing again.
Because of Jerry! So I think Acolyte is going to be very, it's going to have that palette, but I think it's going to have pops of color. I think that's going to be the play. Again, this is a random prediction, and I'm basing it off of other work that Leslie has done. So we'll see. But when I didn't know who she was when I saw it, and then I looked up her writing credits, I was like, oh, okay, Russian Doll and Heathers. That's actually a decent. I didn't like the new Heathers. I'm a fan of the old movie, but Russian Doll was very good. So I have a feeling they hired the right person for this, and Russian Doll has that. What's the word I'm looking for? It's not dark. I don't know. Something along those lines feel to it. So we'll see. Tim.
Yeah.
I just downloaded Yoda number one. So I'm going to read it this week and then I'll get back.
I don't want to talk about Yoda anymore.
No, I want to talk about Yoda because Paul put in the notes that Yoda number one released in Marvel, not IDW, by the way, because all the High Republic Yoda stuff was on IDW.
Rahul Kohli, you, sir, have ruined Yoda for me.
Go ahead and tell them.
Do you guys know that Yoda has a first name?
What is it, Tim?
Fucking Minch! M-I-N-C-H. Minch Yoda. His last name is Yoda. Lucas wanted his name to be Minch Yoda.
Do you know what Minch means in Yiddish, though?
No, what does Minch mean in Yiddish?
It's someone you admire, emulate, someone of noble character. So as a fellow Jew, me and Yoda. Yoda's Luke's mensch. Think about it.
I mean, you're not wrong.
It's just I'm not wrong.
It's just the word within the context. It's just weird. And now I can't see. All I see is this old guy named Minch now. I see an old Jewish grandfather.
I want. Well, I mean. Tim, that's not far off. Like, why is it so like, shocking?
Because now it has all come to full circle. And it's not like Yoda is no longer this very like powerful wise sage. He's just like, he's like a grandpa you're going to go hang out with and like, you know, have lunch.
So here's my question. How do I get my wife to replace our traditional menorah with a Yoda themed menorah now?
Babe, his name's Minch. Like, that's your argument.
That's it.
Babe, his name's Minch. He's like, we got to do this. I bet you they have Star Wars themed menorahs.
Oh, I'll find one. I will have one custom made if I have to. I was looking this morning and there's menorahs for everything, but I didn't find a ton of Star Wars ones, but I found a baby Yoda one, but that's not the one I want. I want a full
Minch Yoda.
I want one now with Yoda and it looks like he's holding up all 8 candles with the Force.
Oh, that'd be so sick. It'd be cool. Yeah. Meditating. Oh my God, you could do that. It's like Yoda and then just do like acrylic candle holders in his. Yeah, that I love that.
Mm. Yeah.
Light the menorah. I will.
Light more presents, yes. Mm. I'm trying to explain Hanukkah to my kids and they're like, oh, more presents. And I'm like, yeah, more presents. It's like, no, I just take your Christmas presents and I stretch them out over 8 days.
Have you guys not, have you never celebrated Hanukkah with your?
I have. We've never done it with the kids, really. So this is the first year that we're going to actually talk about it with the kids and stuff.
That's cool.
It's a cool story. I like the story of Hanukkah. Anyway, yeah, so I'm going to find a Yoda menorah because I feel like Hunter will love that too.
Find your Minch.
And then he's going to go to school. What's Hanukkah, Hunter?
Well, you see, we got this Minch menorah and we light these candles and Dad gives me presents. So
Yoda used the Force to keep the oil in the lamp burning free.
You're really ruining Hanukkah here, Kevin.
I like this version of Hanukkah better. I
want to Star Warsify Hanukkah and Christmas.
Yeah,
it's
dude,
life,
come on.
It's life day now. I'm just going to call it life day.
I was not going to tell Danielle. I was going to buy the AT-AT blow up Christmas guy from Walmart. It's 8 feet tall, apparently. And I was just going to buy it. And I was just going to plug it in and put it on the lawn, not say anything. But they were sold out.
Oh, that's cool. Because then you could have had a yard battle with your neighbor.
Oh, my. You saw that when you were over the other day, right?
It's the same thing he had last year. It's the obnoxious, massive Santa Claus.
He's a regional exec at Walmart.
Oh, that makes so much more sense as to why he has an obnoxious yard.
For every single holiday, because they went nuts for Halloween, too. They got mad because I was playing music in my driveway when I was sitting there and they were trying to play Ghostbusters music. And the wife kept looking over at me like, no, we're playing the music. Like this, I got the holiday thing going on. All right, whatever. So anyway, Yoda number one is out on Marvel. I use the app. But you can go buy it if you'd like as well. And it starts with yoga on Dagobah and deep meditation with a Force ghost who we don't know who it is yet. I feel like the low hanging fruit is Qui-Gon, but I also feel like they're trying to throw a curveball in there and perhaps introduce somebody else. So, I'll report back next week.
Please do. I am,
There's apparently references to the power dynamics going on in the Jedi Council, which I think will be interesting. Oh. So we'll probably see Mace. Because at this point, if it's on Dagobah, Mace is dead. So maybe that's who the Force ghost is. Why can't Mace be a Force ghost? Tim left.
Stop trying to bring him back. He's dead.
But you can be dead and be a Force ghost.
No, you can't be dead and be a Force ghost. You have to go through the training.
Be like, you don't think Mace dies, goes up to whatever the wills of the Force is and be like, listen, motherfucker.
Okay, Samuel L. Jackson might have, but Mace Windu would not.
They're interchangeable. It's the same. It's not. Come on.
Okay, I know that some people just are themselves, but let's, you know.
Who else in Star Wars universe walked up to George Lucas and was like, I don't like the color of my lightsaber.
It wasn't in the Star Wars universe. Purple. There was an actor talking to the fucking director.
I want it to be purple. And he's like, all right, you can have a purple lightsaber. And from then on, they canonized the fact that a purple lightsaber has all this meaning and whatnot. And Samuel L. was like, purple.
Tired of this argument. Honestly, I hope with this comic book, I would hope that we get some type of acknowledgement as to where Yoda's race comes from. You know, like we've been sitting on this whole thing with Grogu and we know that there's more and we have Yaddle And we know that Yoda talks in a funny way just because of his master, and like the race doesn't actually talk like that. Like there's so many, like we're getting this breadcrumb trail, but like, when do we actually get to the place that we want to go? Like, how long are we really going to stretch this out for?
That's the problem Star Wars is struggling with. I think they're taking the secrets and just...
It's exhausting right now, Kevin. Because now, like, I think I would have been fine with it if they would have just left Yoda alone. If they would have just left Yaddle and Yoda, and it would have just been like, they're the only two, it's totally fine. I would have been fine with that. But the moment you brought Grogu in, and then you start talking about bringing him back to his people and all of that, you completely start to ignite a flame of curiosity. And what happens now?
And well, we heard Yaddle speak.
Yeah, we have Yaddle talking. We know there's now no more information about why Yoda's sentences are formed the way that they are. And now we have Grogu. All three are from the same species. We just don't know where they're from. And it's up to Mando to get him back to his people. But is it really his people? Are we talking with like formalities here? Are we talking about he needs to go back to the Jedi? Or is he now considered Mandalorian because he's a foundling? So going back to his people, does that mean going back to Mandalore? Like, I don't understand where we're going with Yoda, Yaddle, and Grogu. It's very confusing right now.
Series will see multiple writers, with the events of the first three issues being scribed by Kevin Scott, who we love. As we meet Yoda just before Luke arrives on Dagobah, we then go back to the High Republic era where Yoda does something nobody expects.
Playing around the dark side.
I mean, it says nobody expects, but like if that's what he does... We knew that was just, yeah. And it's canon that he plays the dark side because it's in season six of Clone Wars when he goes to Moriban to Corbin. Remember, his dark side is like, why don't you play with me anymore?
Uh-huh. Yeah, of course.
Yeah. So, which is one of the creepiest things I've ever seen in Star Wars.
And you know that Filoni is going to, Filoni wants to touch more on that. Like, there isn't something that was put in Clone Wars or in Rebels that he hasn't tried to expand upon within the live action or somewhere else. So
you don't become that wise from always doing the right thing.
No,
that's the way I look at it. Well, but you don't.
Those lines are being blurred more and more. Like this whole dichotomy of good and bad, this yin and yang, like that line is getting blurred very quickly within all of the writing that's going on. And so I think that's going to become more of a norm. This whole like path, like the wayfinders and like all these things, like they are going to, like, I really feel like we're going to get more and more into this like chaotic neutral style of character. Look at Rey. Rey is literally chaotic neutral. She uses dark side powers all the time.
So did Mace.
Yeah. Mace, Qui-Gon started to a little bit. I mean, like there are so many cases of Jedi just like tapping into, because they understand. Even the Sith understand that just like, hey, like this way just might be better for me. And it doesn't make me inherently evil or bad. It's just, this works for me.
So one thing before we take a quick break, do you think Yoda couldn't tap into the dark side because he's so attuned to the Force that it's just too much?
The dark side,
Mace could control it. Right. But he sits in the middle, like he sits on the light side of the middle, in my opinion.
Sure.
But Mace could control his anger, and it actually empowered him. Qui-Gon, same thing. Luke even figured it out after a while. Mm-hmm. So was Yoda so in tune with the Force that he couldn't tap into the dark side because it was just too much for him?
I think what happened is maybe he went too far and it scared him.
Yeah, that's essentially what I'm saying.
Like, yeah, so I mean, like maybe that's what it is. Maybe he's just so sensitive. My hair is crazy. Maybe he's so sensitive and attuned to the Force that it's, you know, we were making the joke about Pete, you know, it's either, you know, one way or the other. You know, there's like, there really is like no middle. Maybe there is no middle ground for Yoda. You know, maybe it's like, if I'm doing it, I'm going all the way.
If we go by what Avar Chris says, the Force is a song and everyone sings a different tune.
Exactly.
So there's no cookie cutter way to say this is how the Force works, which is very applicable to anyone that has
any
sort of spiritual sense, whether you're Christian, Jewish, Buddhist, Muslim, whatever physical. It may be.
Like, you and I are both men and within our, like, you know, within close range of each other in age, but you and I are very different from diet to how we exercise to how we see life in general. And like, that's the beauty of being alive.
Exactly. So I think maybe, you know, while Mace could control it, maybe Yoda couldn't, or he got scared or something. And hopefully,
yeah, that's a really interesting thought. Is like maybe there are like people who are just more like a tuning fork than others, you know, are just super sensitive to those songs or the vibrations of the Force.
Yep.
I like that theory. That's really good, Kevin.
Yeah, I kind of just full circled that one. Hey, we're going to take a quick break and pay some bills. We will be right back let's see, what are we talking about next? Oh, we got some Rogue One, a little bit of more Andor, and some toys.
Sick of being upsold at gyms?
My guy, you're currently a base member. For $90 more, I can upgrade you to our Shred membership. For $130 more, you'll be a Swole member. And for just $300 more, you'll reach Sweat Platinum.
At Planet Fitness, you'll get energy without the upsell. Never pushy, always free fitness training and equipment for every workout. It's fitness that fits your budget. Join Planet Fitness for just $1 down and $10 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, May 10th. See Home Club for details.
I like that. And toys.
All the Black Series figures.
God, I hope they're adult toys.
Ready? Clip that. You ready?
And for our Luke Skywalker dildo, perfect Christmas.
And we're back. Don't Google that.
You probably gotta fade that in, right?
don't Google that, because that exists somewhere. I'm sure on the internet. There.
Could you imagine? Star Wars adult toys. That's gotta be a thing.
You probably buy it where? Did I send you the clip of of Tom Segura buying, because him and Bert Kreischer like try and one up each other every year for their birthday? Like Bert bought him a race car last year. So Bert's a big history buff. So Tom went and bought him a cup from Hitler's summer home, a teacup.
I heard about that. I think you talked about it in the group chat. Oh my god.
Bert's watching Bert get that. He's wheezing. He's like, oh my god, the Fuhrer drank. And he's Jewish. And he's like, the Fuhrer drank from this. He's like, my wife's not gonna let me bring it in the house. And Tom's like, you should make every guest who comes to your house have to drink from the cup. Just too funny. Anyway, yeah. So on the subject of toys, Black Series is celebrating 40 years of Return of the Jedi with a line of figurines. Bib Fortuna, Poplu, Emperor Palpatine, Chewbacca, and a Stormtrooper.
I wonder if these are like the toys that I had growing up, because I had a bunch of Return of the Jedi toys.
No, these are like Black Series. Beautiful. Like super nice. Yeah.
Definitely not like the toys that I had growing up.
Yeah, if you look at them, they're so detailed. I mean, okay, let me get, they look like them, but I feel like I don't remember them being so, they're also 35 bucks each.
Toy making has gotten far more complicated than it was when we were children. Also, I come to find out, it feels like everyone lived the same life. Did you have a C-3PO toy carrier? Like for your mount, for your action figures?
I had Vader.
Oh, I had a C-3PO and his eyes lit up. And apparently a bunch of other people had that thing. And it was cool because you could put like all, there was like a little plastic bar that went across the top of them so they wouldn't fall out. And then on the bar was nameplates. So you could actually put the names for all like where they were supposed to go.
Oh, that's cool. I didn't know. Mine was a Vader helmet, and you opened it like this, and it had compartments inside of it. And you just put them in the compartments, and then you'd fold it up and put the latch on the top.
What's the little thermos, what's it called? That would be a cool action figure thing. Now it'd be like, pull it up, nitrogen come out.
Oh, that
look at fun. All my toys.
I wonder if we could do that with like a Travel Kings Coast mug. Like you open it, it's like, then it depressurizes.
It's like Jurassic Park.
I'm gonna ask Pete if he can make that, and he's gonna slap me. Black Series 40th anniversary. If you're looking for some last minute Christmas gifts for that Star Wars fanatic in your family. There it is. They sell them as a set too, so you can buy them as five piece sets. There's also some other figures from what I saw in there outside of the ones I just mentioned. So check that out. That article came from Gizmodo. So if you're looking for it, go find it. Gary Whitta and Chris Weitz, they wrote on Rogue One. Gary Whitta is actually part of Kind of Funny too.
Is he? I didn't know that.
Yeah. Floated the idea of a TV show with rebels hunting down Imperial fugitives post episode 6. Dude, I love that idea, but a lot of that happens in Aftermath. So yes. I do want to say that.
Sounds like not. It sounds like, so That sounds like Band of Brothers after they win and they go hunting for the Germans that are left over.
I mean, yes.
I liked it. That's pretty sick.
Yeah, I mean, but we see a lot of it in Aftermath with the, you know, when we're talking.
Well, because I mean, they're essentially doing what the Americans did to the Germans. Is like they went and found all their scientists and everything. They found like all the people that were worth keeping, and they brought them over into the New Republic. And so like that was a problem in of itself, because they weren't like in Aftermath, they weren't checking on everybody as to like were they good or bad. And wasn't there like a couple like double agents that ended up like flipping on the rebels? Or on the New Republic. So like, yeah, that's really interesting. I like that. I would like to see that in a cinematic world.
So does that mean that Ilum was the Argentina of the Star Wars universe?
Oh my God, it is. It's for all the Imperial officers went to hide.
Holy shit.
And then they end up weaponizing Argentina and turning into a death planet.
I saw a thing. It was either Argentina or Brazil. I can't remember. They're like, this community has the second biggest Oktoberfest celebration in the world. And I was like,
oh my God. Yeah. It's somewhere in South America. Uh-huh.
Yes.
Like, yeah. Yeah. Argentina. Chile. Yeah. It's like Chile or Argentina.
I wouldn't talk about that.
Yeah. But it's funny, 'cause like they recognize like where it comes from. They're just like, ah.
Yeah. So, yeah, I think that would be a great show, but Gary said that just nobody ever did anything with it. So, I like the concept, but that's the thing is if you put it out in the ether, Star Wars is never, ideas like that never die. They can always come back in 10, 20 years.
Or become so maybe we will get that. Films.
Yeah. Yeah. Which
films.
End up on,
oh my God,
which end up on YouTube. And I've seen some absolutely incredible ones on YouTube. It's pretty amazing.
I love the ones that where the screen, like the on set pictures get leaked, and then people ask me why Maul and Ahsoka are fighting on Tatooine. There's dead Mando there on the corner. What happened?
There's one. I think I sent it to you a while back. The Republic Commando one.
Yeah.
Where the UI in the helmet is literally the UI you have in the game, which is just, I just love that. But yeah, please remake, not remaster, remake Republic Commando. Thank you. It's one of my favorite games.
Such a good game.
I stalled, by the way, on Knights of the Old Republic 2. I was like, the controls, it's just, I got about 40 hours in, and I'm just like, I can't do this anymore.
Were you playing it on the Switch?
I was playing on the Switch, and it's just so much of this and like running into a wall and then the cue-based combat. I'm like, I can't. I love this story. It's one of the best stories ever told. But my God, the combat just drives me nuts.
But that was all the rage when that game came out. That's what everybody did.
What else do we have? Fable hadn't even come out yet. Like, we didn't really have much on that side of things.
Well, Final Fantasy was so popular. And so everybody was just playing off the Final Fantasy cookie cutter equation. You know?
And they even improved on that, because the combat, to me, I don't like turn-based Final Fantasy combat. It's part of the reason I never got into it. They did it as a cue-based combat system, so there was still action involved. You could just pause.
You felt like you were kind of like controlling your guy more than you were in Final Fantasy.
I mean, you could cue three characters' attacks up to four attacks, so you had like the next few
minutes. Barrage and
right. So it was tactical, but you know, at the same time. So I don't know. Anyway, but yeah, I think that would be that. That could also make a great game. I was thinking too, even if they don't want to go that route, that would make a great game where you're like some sort of Republic bounty hunter just going around rounding up Imperials. Oh, I didn't think of that. That'd be fun.
Essentially Red Dead in Star Wars.
Oh man, what a great game. I hope they make a third. I saw I saw a clip the other day that says me dying peacefully in my bed at 90 years old. And then said the day after I die. And it was the loading screen for GTA 6 coming up.
Oh my God. I'm going to have a new level of anxiety. I was like, these are going to be games that come out after I die. Wow.
Oh, I'm already thinking that, you know, I probably got 40, 50, 60 good years left on this planet.
I hope so, Kevin. Yeah, I hope so.
But I'm already like, man, there's going to be Star Wars content after I go that I'm not going to see.
Wow, that's bad.
Like, somebody's going to remake Lord of the Rings again in my lifetime, aren't they? And then they'll probably add to it, and I might miss it, you know? So, dark thoughts with Kevin Murray. So, back to Andor. We have two more things on Andor and the characters. Tony is hinting at new characters entering Andor in season two. So new characters. So he says we're getting into legacy characters now as well. It's very complicated to get everybody to book out and book everybody's schedule. Everybody's busy. Nobody knew that we were going to have this many characters when we started. My fault. So Tony's trying to expand this. You know, names that you said before, Hera's been hinted at, Bail's been hinted at, Tarkin's been hinted at, which we know they can bring Tarkin back to life. We've seen it.
I mean, it would make perfect sense to see him.
Director Krennic.
But the whole idea of seeing Galen, I mean, like, this is all.
We can see Galen again. We probably will see Krennic next season.
Like, Galen. So if you read Catalyst, even if they just like mentioned him, or like had a scene with him, I mean, like, he's deep in Coruscant right now in the research and development of the Death Star. So like, he's locked up in a science lab,
but he's still happy, right? At this point, or no? This is after that flashback scene where
I don't know where we are. I don't know where we are in the timeline, but there's a point. There's a flipping point.
Jyn's a kid in that scene, so probably not, because she's a teenager by the time we meet her in Rogue One.
Oh fuck! There's a deleted scene where he's at when Krennic's at her apartment. Yeah. She's a kid. Yeah. So that, I mean, like, and that's the right time, like that. So that meeting of Krennic in Galen, that was in the book. He would come over for dinner and stuff. He was trying to be like, he was trying his best to hold on to Galen Erso. And so, yeah, I mean, like, there's so much going on. And like, this time period is so rich to pull from, because there's not a lot of it covered in the visual sense. A lot of it's written down and showcased elsewhere, made mention of, but we haven't really seen it. You know, like the idea of going down to Yavin 4 and seeing the temples and actually like watching the rebellion, like build their stronghold there. Like, that's going to be like, I would assume that would be a part of season two.
Yeah. I think that'll happen too when Mon Mothma is, you know, she has to be ousted at some point in early.
Almost definitely. There's something's going to happen. You know, it'd be crazy if it was her kiddo that ended up like selling her out.
Because
I could see that happening. Her kiddo be like, it's for the good of the empire or whatever. Like, she's for some reason falls into like some weird rut where she's like, she becomes very full of value and morals, and she thinks she's doing the right thing, and she ends up screwing her mom over in the end.
I mean, that would be tragic, but it would make sense for why she's pretty much alone when we meet her later, because
alone.
She's gonna lose her family over this.
Something's gonna happen. Either her family is killed or they flip on her. And I can see her husband flipping on her. Her husband doesn't like her, and she's already thrown her husband under the bus, and her daughter despises her.
Yeah.
Her daughter likes her mom's cousin more than anything else. Like, how crazy is that?
She doesn't even know that Vel's involved.
Right. She just thinks Vel's just a cool cousin.
Well, see, also with Vel, why would you use your real name and not have an alias when you're doing rebel shit?
That's
my point. Luthen does that too, and I'm always like, what?
Well, he likes Axis now. I think he's just gonna stick with Axis.
Oh yeah, no, he's like, ooh, that is like the ring of that.
Yeah.
Axis.
It's like the lights.
Mufasa.
Ooh.
Ooh. So StarWars.com listed out all of the Easter eggs in Luthen's shop. Some of them we knew, some of them are new to me. So we got Amidala's headpieces in there.
No
awesome.
Way.
Yep. Mandalorian armor, which we saw, the Jedi Temple Guard mask we saw. What's a Sankara stone? That sounds familiar.
Wasn't the Sankara stones what they were looking at? Those tablets that she was showing her?
Oh, that's from Indiana Jones. That was the Easter egg. The five stones.
Oh, smooth ones. Yeah. That was one of the things.
Yeah, because they put that and the whip in there as fun Lucas Easter eggs.
That's right.
We saw the Sith holocron in the back room. I wanted that to come into play somehow. I know it's not going to, because it's just such a minute.
There was multiple
little
holocrons back there. There was Jedi holocrons too. There was big ones and little ones.
I wanted the Sith one to play into it. You know, for all we know, no, it couldn't be that. I was gonna say it could be the holocrons from Rebels, but I don't think that adds up. The Starkiller Dark Lord armor which you get in.
And we knew that wasn't. We knew that wasn't like it's not specifically. It's not specifically Starkiller's armor.
Sith Assassin
but
armor.
But it's Sith Ancient. Assassin armor because Starkiller hasn't even happened yet. If we're gonna go by like, oh, he's happening, right?
Yeah. Yeah, it would be. It's just ancient Sith assassin armor that Starkiller gets in the second game. Wookiee war helmet from Attack of the Clones.
I saw the Gungan shield last week, and I was like, "Wait a second, how did I miss that all along?" But there was a perfect shot where it was just like right behind him, mm-hmm. and it was really cool to see that. I like that they did that.
You know what's funny about those two? Those two items are probably looked at the same way we look at like a Ruger from World War II, or you know, like an old gun from Vietnam War and things like that. That would be my assumption and how they would view that in that universe.
Almost
like
relics definitely.
Of wars past and uh-huh. things of that nature.
And it really wasn't that far before. I mean, like if the invasion of Naboo was only what 20 years prior, or not even 15 years prior?
Not even, yeah.
10 years prior? This is where I start messing up times and someone's gonna tweet at me. I'm so fucking tired of you guys ruining the timeline.
People tweet the timelines at us all the time, and it's like, all right, we're never gonna get it straight. So if you're gonna
Dude,
listen
I
to the show,
I try to keep my timeline in order.
I can't even do that.
I have a calendar to keep my timeline in order.
So one of the most interesting things in there is the World Between Worlds tablet from Rebels is just sitting there in two pieces,
like the veil.
That is the tablet that they use to transcribe. With the mural, remember that whole thing yeah, with the uh-huh. father and the daughter and the son.
Yeah.
That's all. The tablet is just sitting in Luthen's shop.
How the hell so does it get point, from there to there?
It's got to make it to that guy. I forget his name. The one who's he's in the Aftermath books. That guy.
Mm-hmm. And
I forget his name, but yeah, him. The one who's he's like the spiritual. Advisor to Palpatine, I forget his name. So it's got to make
the
his way.
He's with the blue guy.
He's also briefly walking in. I think it's A New Hope on the Death Star as well.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So him, same,
but I know you're talking about yes.
So that tablet is sitting there, and then the last thing is, and I saw this in the back, and I was very curious. There's just carbonite blocks sitting in the back room. Are there beings in the carbonite blocks that are just sitting in the back room?
Are they frozen?
I believe so. I'm not 100% sure.
Wait, when you say
sure.
blocks of carbonite, are you talking about like blocks? Or are we talking about like Han Solo blocks?
I'm looking now to make sure. Because I saw the little controls and whatnot. All right. 10 Easter eggs from Luthen's gallery. I want to see the picture.
Because yep, I mean yep. like freezing things in carbonite. Because they've never, like, when Vader talks about it, and they're like, we've never tried this on a person before.
There's several carbonite blocks in the gallery with some more ordinary pieces, like the necklace above, but a few stand out for the subjects held with, and the fertility idols from Raiders of the Lost Ark are in carbonite blocks. Man, they put a ton of Indiana Jones stuff in there.
His whip was in carbonite.
An engineer's head from the Prometheus movies. What? And more.
What the fuck are we trying? Are we tying Star Wars into Prometheus?
I think it's just a fun thing to just throw as much shit that they had lying around in the back lot and put it in carbonite and put it on the set for people like you and me.
I know, but I've heard theories of people trying to like tie Star Wars into like our world and things like that. I wonder.
Legends has a tie to our world. They're like the two Adam and Eve.
Yeah,
are from that universe, and they end up. Like a spaceship crash on ours. So there is a legend story. It's I don't know which part of Legends, but I remember reading it many years ago. So it does like that. That is the seed world for ours. So it does exist, but that wouldn't make sense in a galaxy far, far away.
No, because they would have had to have gone and then come
right.
back. And that, yeah.
Right.
There's some time there, but Veil of the Force, dude, you never know.
The World Between Worlds. Oh man, if that's like a multiverse now, like
I mean, like he went back in time and saved Ahsoka. So I mean, like the ability to go forwards and back in time when you're not actually in that timeline, if you remove yourself from it and you're able to freely go across this thing that flows, then yeah.
We're gonna be 70 and it's gonna be you know, Palpatine reanimated for the eighth time, partnered with Thanos and Kang.
This motherfucker's back.
Qui-Gon and Luke stand next to Captain America and Black Widow ready to fight.
It's going to end up looking like the finale scene for Ready Player One.
Yes, gonna be exactly.
Like all of these heroes from all of these shows are just like, how the fuck did they get here?
Exactly. You know, and then by then DC will be a part of Disney, so Batman will be standing there and Joker. It'll be a whole thing. Well, thank you so much for checking out episode 108 of Star Wars and Scotch. We appreciate you as always. Again, warning you about that King's Coast. Make sure you take advantage of that, because that thing that I saw on the 12 Days of King's Coast shocked me, and it might shock you too. Make sure you're following Timmy's Darkness 429 everywhere on the internet, but you can watch him stream Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. fb.gg/darkness429. What are you playing today?
I'm not sure yet, Kevin. We'll find out. There seems to be something going on with the platform today where people can't go live, so we'll see.
Oh.
But yeah, if I am live, I'll be playing The Devil in Me, which is a brand new addition to the Dark Picture Anthology series, which I absolutely love because it's like watching a movie with chat, but I get to control what happens and piss them off. And then at the end, I end up killing everybody. And it's always on accident. I swear to God, I don't plan this. Somehow, some way, I make the wrong move and everyone dies. I'm like, I try really, really hard, like emotionally invested into keeping these players alive. And somehow, some freaking way, the devs had put in like a Tim switch, and somehow I hit it, and everybody dies. It has happened in every playthrough.
Yeah, and when I played Until Dawn, I only lost one person because my finger slipped on the controller.
I killed everyone. I want you to know that I tried so hard to keep everyone alive, and then I blew up the house.
Okay. I didn't do that. And then when I just finished Quarry for Halloween this year, I was on such a good path. Like we lost a hand, and I thought we were in a good place. And then,
I saved the hand. If you use the machete, you can use the machete to like open up the bear trap, and it breaks the machete, but you save your hand. And then you use
the hand was the one where they're in the radio room, and it grabs him through the ceiling.
We had a completely different game than I loved. And that's another thing too about the Dark Picture Anthology. I know we need to wrap this up, but there's like 40 to 50 different endings. So you can have one playthrough and someone can have another playthrough, and you guys will see things completely differently through the entire show, which is so cool.
My problem is I always make the same decisions, so there's no replayability for me because
Because you're just like, compass. It's over, right? Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Like the quarry, I choked at the end because I felt bad for the kid and he ends up killing everybody.
Yep. Oh, I know who you're talking about. Oh, no, he died. He died about two chapters before the ending for me.
Oh, he stayed alive to the end for me, Kevin. Anyways, we'll talk about this in another podcast. We got to get out of here.
All right. You all have a great one. Make sure you're following Star Wars and Scotch and Rare Drop as well, all the way on the internet. Look out for that Andor roundtable as well. We'll see you next week for more Star Wars. But until then, Tim.
May the Force be with you.
Sick of being upsold at gyms?
My guy, you're currently a base member. For $90 more, I can upgrade you to our Shred membership. For $130 more, you'll be a Swole member. And for just $300 more, you'll reach Sweat Platinum.
At Planet Fitness, you'll get energy without the upsell. Never pushy, always free fitness training and equipment for every workout. It's fitness that fits your budget. Join Planet Fitness for just $1 down and $10 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, May 10th. See Home Club for details.